This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Massachusetts transportation officials are planning to start all electronic tolling on the Massachusetts Turnpike at the end of October. The new system, which was outlined at a state transportation department board meeting today, will also mean that drivers will pay different rates to use the pike. At today's meeting, state officials also said this new tolling system is capable of alerting police about specific license plates or transponders. While law enforcement officials say that information could be useful in helping to solve crimes, some civil liberties groups are concerned about how the information would be used and how it would be secured. We reached out to the State Transportation Department for today's show, but it said it could not make anyone available because of the ongoing meeting. A spokeswoman did say, though, that they are hoping to have recommendations about handling the tolling system data in the coming weeks. To discuss electronic tolling and privacy, we're joined by Jim Aloisi. He's a former state transportation secretary, and he's a principal at the Pemberton Square Group. Welcome.
Thank you for having me on.
And with us in studio is Cade Crockford. She's director of the Technology for Liberty Project at the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts. Welcome.
Happy to be here.
Listeners, we want to hear from you as well during this part of our show. What do you think of the electronic tolling on the turnpike? Are you concerned about how information about your travels might be used, or do you think that there will be safeguards in place to protect your privacy? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. Jim Aloisi, let's start with you. You've served as general counsel to the Turnpike Authority. What do you think is the main benefit of electronic tolling like this?
Well, electronic tolling, and in particular all electronic tolling, which is what the Turnpike is moving toward, is of a huge benefit to motorists and to all citizens. It's a benefit to motorists because it's going to put an end to backlogs at toll plazas, and that means cleaner air at toll plazas because idling cars that stop at toll plazas have higher fuel emissions. It's going to mean faster trip times for motorists so that they have savings, real savings in time and fuel. It's an enormous benefit for everybody with respect to improved mobility. And it's really an expression of how technology in the 21st century can be put to good use, making our lives better, improving the quality of our mobility, improving the quality of our lives. As in any circumstance when there's change, you have to identify areas where there may be issues that need to be addressed. And certainly the subject of privacy is one that needs to be considered carefully, thoughtfully, not in an overwrought way, but in a thoughtful way, and I believe it's something that can be effectively addressed.
We want to talk about this hot list feature of these electronic tolls in just a moment, but first I want to bring Kate into this conversation. What's your concern about these, the main concern, if you will?
Well, our concerns are basically the same with respect to the electronic tolling as they are with all sorts of information that we leave behind about ourselves today in the digital 21st century. And I totally agree with Jim. This seems like a step in the right direction for the Commonwealth. The really critical issue is to make sure that not only the policies that MassDOT implements to protect this information are in line with basic privacy and data hygiene principles, but also the state constitution and the federal constitution. And additionally, that we are thinking about this within the context of a whole lot of other technologies that are tracking us. So really, it's an opportunity for the government, for the state legislature to think about ways in which it might want to look at not only addressing the issue of tolling records and this so-called hot list that might be implemented on the gantries on the Mass Pike, to alert, again, the state police to drivers, the location of drivers in real time, specific drivers, but to think about that within the context of lots of other programs. So, for example, license plate tracking programs that police departments have been using in Massachusetts for many years now, in addition to our cell phones. Our cell phones are tracking us also. Law enforcement can get access to that information, sometimes with less than a warrant here in the Commonwealth. So it's our view that this should be considered in context among a broad range of issues dealing with electronic privacy.
Now, the state says it is looking at various recommendations to come up with a policy and how to deal with all of this data. What would a good policy look like, first and foremost, in your opinion?
Right. So any data policy, and this pertains to private corporations as well as government agencies, should really have about five main principles. The first is collection. Only collect what you need for business processes. So, you know, I heard that the New Hampshire electronic tolling system only photographs license plates. It doesn't photograph the whole car. It doesn't seem necessary for the purposes of tolling to get an image of the bumper stickers and the drivers of the car.
And do you know if this particular system in Massachusetts would be able to capture more data than just the license plate?
I don't. That's one of the questions that we're going to be looking into. Mm-hmm. But so data collection is the first principle. Only collect what you need. The second is only use it for the purposes that you really need to use it for. So in this case, we're dealing with a tolling system. So the information collected for tolling purposes should only be used for tolling purposes. The third issue is access, both internal and external. So who has access to that information internally at MassDOT, as well as at the private corporation that's actually running this system for MassDOT, a company called TransCore. So how many people have access to that information? Is there an auditing trail? When someone looks up an individual plate number, is that search documented? Can people then go back through an accountability process and make sure that the system's not being abused internally, as well as external access? So that would be, for example, law enforcement. What are the rules for external access? So we would suggest, humbly, that law enforcement should be required to get a warrant to access stored location information held by the Pike, or rather by MassDOT, about people's driving habits on the Mass Pike, and that in these rare, very rare circumstances where we're dealing with this hot list situation, you know, only if someone's life is at risk would it be legitimate from a constitutional perspective for the state police to be notified in real time without a warrant of someone's location. And then the last thing would be data retention. How long are you keeping this information? So again, that pertains to the use provision. What do you need this information for? As soon as you've used it for that purpose, you can delete it. And unfortunately, I heard this morning at the meeting that the MassDOT is considering retaining the information for up to a couple of years, which seems, at least at first blush, to be too long.
Jim Aloisi, I'm wondering what you think about some of Cade's suggestions regarding how the a policy should be handled regarding this data on electronic tolling. But first, I just also, before you answer that, I want to remind our listeners that we want you to be involved in this conversation as well. What do you think about electronic tolling on the Mass Pike? It's set to go into effect at the end of October. There was a meeting today, a board meeting of state transportation officials talking about this electronic tolling. What do you think? Are you concerned about how your information might be used, or how it might be stored, or about how your travel information might be used? Or do you think there will be enough safeguards put in place? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Jim Aloisi, do you think we'll be able to put a policy in place that will be able to enhance public safety and protect privacy?
I have no doubt. And I think that the 5 points that we just heard sound like a reasonable framework to have this privacy discussion. I think, for me, if the subject sort of boils down to two components, right? There's the issue of the data repository. Where does this stuff go, and how long does it stay in there, and who has access to it? And then there's the issue of data use, which is how will we use it? And if we limit that use to legitimate sort of public security emergency type issues, and we should lay those out very transparently what they would be. And if we have protections on the data repository, I think it would be interesting to know, for example, what other potential uses Massport might see for this other than law enforcement, if there were legitimate mobility purposes for which it would be used, understanding times of day congestion, that sort of thing. I think we need to give the folks at MassDOT a chance to at least articulate, express what might be on their minds. But the idea that we, and this is true, by the way, what we're talking about here is happening everywhere in our lives. And so I think that state government, just like the federal government and local governments who are now in a position through a variety of sensors and other types of instruments that are capturing data, you really need to be thinking about a comprehensive approach to the question of access to the data repository and use of the data. And as I say, the framework that Kate put out seems like a good start from my perspective to have that conversation.
You know, we reached out to New Hampshire, which has electronic tolling in place, and it does have, that state has strict requirements on using data from electronic tolling. Police need to get a subpoena to access that information. The cameras, as you mentioned, Kate, are only allowed to take photos of a license plate. Is that a reasonable way to put this new system in place, Jim?
I think so. It sounds to me, well, first of all, I don't think, in terms of law enforcement, I think clearly we want to have the protections of our constitutional law. And so having a warrant or requiring a subpoena, unless there's some emergency situation, you know, if God forbid we had a situation like the Marathon bombers and they were going through a toll booth, I have no doubt that people would feel differently about the issue of their privacy. But those are very, very unique and rare, thankfully, circumstances. In the average circumstance, I think people should be, lawlessness should be asked and required to show some cause. I do think, to me, the important part here is to not let this issue, you know, this was a front page story in the Boston Globe, and when I see that, I worry that it gets people needlessly upset or that it becomes an overwrought discussion, when really it doesn't have to be. We all need to be prepared to embrace technology. If we're going to live in the 21st century, what we need to do in a very calm and thoughtful way is to understand what we, you know, that legal framework that we as Americans believe in, have faith in, trust in, and expect government will have in every aspect of our lives to protect us, and apply those principles in a fair and reasonable way to the specific instance here, which is mobility.
Okay, I want to bring Kate in here. Kate, do people need to assume we've got this technology, we're going to use it, we will put enough safeguards in place, really?
So I just want to quibble a little bit, Jim, in the sense of urgency about this matter. You know, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever, the reality is that technology moves much faster than the law. And we have, at the ACLU, tried to encourage the state legislature here in Massachusetts to pass a number of electronic privacy bills in recent years. They have not done so. And so, unfortunately, we are woefully behind in Massachusetts right now in terms of the statutory protections for all sorts of all kinds of digital information that we leave behind every day, both with our private internet providers and cell phone companies, as well as with government agencies like MassDOT. So I would just quibble with the sense of urgency issue. I do think that there is a real sense of urgency here and that the legislature should feel compelled to act, and that, you know, the Globe putting this story on the front page is a good thing in that respect, because while I agree that electronic tolling is good for transportation, I also think that the public needs to be very aware of not just the potential harms involved with, you know, unlimited data retention or warrantless law enforcement access to this kind of information, but more broadly, of all the different kinds of information that are being collected about us today and about the ways in which those data can be used for purposes that maybe in 2016 we don't even understand yet because they haven't been invented.
Right. And is there almost an attitude, well, there's so much data being collected about me? I mean, who could possibly sift through it all unless they had a real purpose to do so? I mean, you know, there's an overwhelming amount of data collected.
Well, that's right. And a lot of people at MIT are working very diligently right now to figure out ways to monetize that information, figure out ways to draw unique insights from it through a process called data mining, which is essentially, you know, using computer algorithms to derive new meaning from large data sets. So, you know, that's, again, Jim, we wouldn't disagree at the ACLU that, you know, anonymized information that doesn't contain unique attributes of individual people, so stripped of license plate numbers, stripped of credit card data and things like that. Certainly, MassDOT should be using this data in an anonymized fashion to look at traffic patterns so that we can better plan our public transport. You know, we're not Luddites at the ACLU. We don't think that the information should just disappear. However, there is a real sense of urgency, I think, about what to do in terms of regulating how that information can be used when it's personally identifiable.
Well, we don't disagree on that. My concern was was more about the fact that we haven't done this, and therefore people get anxious about something that they probably shouldn't have to be anxious about in the first place. I completely agree. Massachusetts fancies itself to be the innovation state of the East. Well, if we're going to be the innovation state of the East, we better start innovating when it comes to making sure that our laws match the pace of innovation. I understand, as you've pointed out, that innovation is at a rapid pace. Well, we need to move at a rapid pace when it comes to enacting laws and regulations and a sensible framework to enable our decision makers, at not just the MassDOT, but in many other agencies, to be able to keep up with the time. So these things go hand in hand with one another. Perhaps what today's story and discussion is about is sort of bringing that issue to the forefront so that we can cross whatever barrier needs to be crossed legislatively and otherwise and get this kind of thing done. Because we don't just risk more traffic congestion if we don't have an AET system. The dominoes will begin to fall. We need to begin to compete with other states nationally. And so if our laws are not keeping up with demand, then we need to insist that they do.
So you think we have laws on the books right now that will protect people's privacy sufficiently to be able to put this electronic tolling system in place and deal with the traffic part of it and also make sure that any privacy concerns are addressed?
Well, I think the law probably needs to be revisited. I'm pretty sure it does. When I was back in the 1990s, when we first introduced electronic tolling to Massachusetts, there was a law passed. As I believe it was passed as part of the comprehensive metropolitan highway system legislation back in the mid-90s. And if my memory serves me correctly, it did restrict the use of particular information at the toll plazas to legitimate state police, state investigatory work. It was pretty narrow. We were not anticipating the world of 2016 and AET. So my sense, not having looked at it recently, is that whatever legislation is on the books probably needs quite an update and refreshing. I'm sure the ACLU knows more about it and has a specific idea about how that will work if it's those five principles we heard about. Again, that makes sense to me. I just think we need to get off the dime on this so that we're not scaring people, A, and B, so that we're not unduly delaying the implementation of a new way of a reform, really, in collecting transportation revenue that is really critical, I think, to, as I say, less congestion, cleaner air, better mobility. We should be able to do both, chew gum and walk at the same time.
Okay, I want to get some listeners in with some of their questions as part of this. Dagmar is calling from Cambridge. Dagmar, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Yep, thanks. I want to say that my credit card for the last 10 years has been hacked on average once a year. And my information, all my information, including my social security number, has been hacked at the Boston Teachers Union and at the Boston Public Schools. Hmm. If I'm forced to buy a transponder, I must submit credit card information, which then backtracking has also my social security information on it. So I am very opposed to it because in this country, data protection, as is concerned with regards to hacking, is woefully inadequate. You can look at other countries, for example, Germany, that has much stronger data protection in place, not from a legal point, from a technical point. And I would like to have in the bill included that I can be sent a bill afterwards. I want to be able to go through the tolls without a transponder, like in Vermont, being sent a bill afterwards and then pay the bill if it has to be.
Okay. I think we understand. So protecting the data and making sure that it isn't hacked. What do you say about that, Kate? Is that an issue?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, in recent years, we've seen a number of high-profile hacks. Just this past summer, you know, the DNC hacks were released last year. The Office of Public Management at the federal government was hacked, and millions of federal government employees' very sensitive information was disclosed, likely to a foreign government. So, yeah, of course, hacking is a major issue of concern. And, you know, MassDOT has said that a private corporation called TransCore is going to be operating this tolling system. So it remains to be seen exactly what security protocols they'll have in place. But I'm assuming they'll use encryption at least to protect credit card information and things like that. To the caller, though, I would encourage her to look at some of the details of this plan, because the pay-by-plate option will be in effect in Massachusetts. You don't have to get an easy pass, actually. So you don't ever have to give them your credit card number if you don't want to.
Right.
And additionally, today I heard them say that they're also going to allow people to get easy pass transponders and fill them with cash. So you can even use an easy pass, but never give them your credit card if you want.
Right. And keep in mind, hacking is not a legal issue. As far as I know, hacking is a technology.
But no, but the government
protecting.
Yeah, the government has a responsibility to protect that information technologically, though.
But your license plate has all of your information. If it's your car, it has a lot of your private information as well.
Yes.
And how would that be protected?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, again, you know, the RMV maintains those records. So the way that the system is going to work, my understanding of it at least, is that this company, TransCore, which is going to run the electronic tolling system, will actually facilitate the collection of the information from the highways, so the images and the data that's picked up from the transponders, and process the tolls through communicating with the larger system, you know, determine how long you drove, how many tolls you hit. If you don't use an EasyPass transponder, it's going to bill you, this private company, and it'll do that based on querying information from the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles, as well as registries of motor vehicles from other states nationwide, depending on where your car is registered. So my understanding is that there's no fusing of these data sets, but rather that this company will simply have access to information that's already held by the RMV.
Okay, I want to get... go ahead, Jim.
That's how MassDOT assures that you'll pay if you don't have a transponder and you drive through. They will take a picture of your license plate.
Right.
And they'll send you a bill. If you don't pay your bills, the next time you try to register your car or renew your license, you'll be told at the registry that you've got to pay your bill or they won't do that.
All right. I want to just get a couple more calls in. Alan is calling from Brookline. Alan, you're on the air.
Hello. I was interested in the state enforcing our speed limits. Everybody in the inside 128 drives well over the 55 mile an hour speed limit, which has been mandated. It's called normalized deviance. Everybody does it because it's easy to do. But if a speeding ticket popped up in my mail two or three days after each trip on one of the highways, everybody would kind of think twice, either about driving over 55 or taking a different route.
Right. So you understand the traffic part of it, but what about the privacy part of it? Are you concerned?
I don't believe that data can ever be truly secured. And I think that... I work in the computer field. I'm a computer programmer. And people get hacked because of mistakes by people that do things, as well as due to errors in software design and such. And a law enforcement officer who needs the information about me is going to get it. He'll track my cell phone. He'll track my credit cards. He'll do what he needs to get that information. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have a problem with that. I could go... You have to go undercover to avoid that in this society.
Mm-hmm. So the information's out there, and the technology is out there, and we have to learn how to live with it. Is that essentially what you're saying, Alan?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, for the most part. I mean, I'd love for things to be really private, but I'm unless you live in a cash society in a very rural area, it's probably not going to happen.
Okay, I want to take another call before we run out of time. Nico is calling from Gloucester. Nico, you're on the air.
Great, thank you so much. I was just calling because I have a transponder in my car, and my wife and I always used to fight about whether it used to be on the dashboard or in the center console. And I said that it didn't matter if it was in the center console, and she was obviously right because now I put it on the dashboard. But at the same time, we still get like, you know, those tickets, $40, $50, $60 every time we pass through the tolls, like going up to Portland, Maine. And I was just wondering if that is just because my transponder is out of date, or if that's like an actual like kind of technical problem that could be improved upon.
So you think there are technical errors with the transponders to begin with, and how does that figure into this whole system? Jim Aloisi, I'm going to let you take a crack at that in the last 40 seconds or so that we have here.
Well, so the New England states have agreements, I believe Maine, Hampshire, and Massachusetts have signed a compact. So the transponder is what we call interoperable, meaning it's seamless in any of the states. If you drive through the Hampton Tolls in New Hampshire or the Maine Turnpike from Massachusetts and your transponder is either not working, can't be read because you put it in the wrong place, or you don't have enough money in your account, you will be charged for that by that state. And they may put a surcharge on that or not. I don't know exactly what the agreement calls for with respect to potential surcharge, but that's how that works. The transponder is either defective, it's in the wrong place in the car, or the person doesn't have money in terms of a balance. Those would be the only reasons why you'd be getting a charge. But the three New England states that I mentioned have a compact that's been signed so that it's a seamless drive through all of their toll facilities.
Okay. Well, Jim Aloisi, former State Transportation Secretary and Principal at the Pemberton Square Group, I want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll probably continue this conversation. We've got a lot of callers, but we're out of time. But thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Also, Cade Crockford, Director of the Technology for Liberty Project at the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.